Go forth among the stars and seek only the strongest prey. They shall be your trophy. Become the killer of killers. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, to kick off spooky season, I am here to review Hulu's original film, Predator, Killer of Killers. For those of you dropping in for the very first time, here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less, and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And the question that we have to wrestle with right off the bat is this: are the Predator movies horror movies? No, they're not. They are action sci-fi films. I do feel a bit more strongly about the shared universe counterpart to the Predators, Xenomorphs of the Alien franchise, that those are more sci-fi horror movies. Maybe not so much Aliens. Here's my designated hot take of the episode. I'm not a big fan of Aliens, but when it comes to the original, for sure, and some of the other installments, I do think that the Alien franchise definitely falls more into the horror movie category. Predator, not so much. Though I think you call them Yutja, is how you say the actual species name. They are terrifying. They are intimidating. So from that perspective, I definitely understand why someone could maybe have it puts me in the holiday spirit vibe when it comes to the Predator films. At some point, maybe it would be fun. I don't think I'll be able to get to this year, but it may be fun at some point to sit down and do a whole episode on how you would actually try to fight a Yutja or a Xenomorph, but not. I don't know if I can get to that this spooky season, this Halloween season. But I could definitely see how maybe for some people, like, the original Predator film could have been kind of like a gateway to horror movies. And so now, kind of like Die Hard or The Nightmare Before Christmas or Gremlins, how it could very much, or I guess Labyrinth is now kind of getting circulated among the horror movie category a little bit. It's just kind of like a creepy film that could maybe put you in a certain holiday spirit, even though there could be arguments over whether or not it actually is a horror movie or should be watched at Halloween and not Christmas. I'll let you decide which movie I'm referring to there. Nightmare Before Christmas is a Halloween movie. Who said that? Anyway, so with that being said, yeah, we're kind of stretching things a little bit here to kick off the Halloween season with Predator, Killer of Killers. But I definitely wanted to review this because this movie actually checks a lot of boxes for first-time things for the Predator franchise, including kind of its first foray into more of the martial art media world. So here we are talking about Predator. Here I am to talk about Predator, Killer of Killers. This is the first of two Predator movies that are coming out this year. Killer of Killers came out back in, I think it was like the late spring, early summer. I think it may have been like right around May or so. While Predator Badlands is still scheduled to come out the first weekend of November. So we have that to look forward to here just a few weeks from now. Both films and Prey were all directed. Let me pull up his name to make sure I say his last name correctly, because he's got a little bit of a funky last name. Here we go. Prey, Predator Killer of Killers, and the Predator Badlands is all directed by Dan Trachtenberg, who, having worked on all three of these films now, is clearly positioning himself to be this franchise's James Gunn, Dave Filoni, Kevin Feige person, and in my personal opinion, is so far two for two on delivering good Predator films. I really liked Prey. I know that there were some, some people out there who didn't quite care for it, but I think Prey was very good. One of the strongest films to take place within the franchise. Definitely one of the best of the newer Predator films. And Killer of Killers is a good watch as well. I found it to be a bit more of a casual watch versus Prey that kept me a little bit more on my seat the whole time. We'll see how Badlands goes, especially seeing how this is going to be a theatrical release film versus both Prey and Killer of Killers being both direct-to-Hulu releases. Another reason, though, why Trachtenberg seems to be taking up the mantle of the showrunner for a potentially new film franchise, cinematic universe, potentially shared universe. Everybody is foaming at the mouth, apparently, to get another attempt at Alien versus Predator. And maybe also throwing Blade Runner in there, because there's been some references in Alien Earth to the replicants in the Blade Runner universe, even though they're owned by other people. If you didn't know, Blade Runner is allegedly a part of the shared universe of the Alien and Predator timeline. Although I will say, don't try to connect the dots. Not that you can't, but like the timeline is just so all over the place. It is an easier timeline to put together, though, than other franchises. Looking at you, old Fox X-Men timeline, that thing was jacked up so badly. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So another reason, though, why Trachtenberg seems to be kind of like stepping into this role as like the runner of the cinematic universe for Predator is because he has made an attempt here in Killer of Killers to connect to other Predator films. One of those connecting tissue points between Killer of Killers and other Predator films is a big spoiler. So I'd rather you go watch the movie versus me just spoiling this part for you. But I'll give you this bit. There is another way that this movie connects to another Predator film, and maybe a surprising Predator film to connect to as well. So this film, again, making it a unique entry in the Predator cinematic universe, is an animated film and also an anthology film. There are three stories and a fourth one that brings the other three stories, the main characters, together. The first one is a Viking. The second one is about a Ronin. The third one is about a World War II pilot. That second story, I'll talk more about the other ones in a second. That second story about a Ronin is actually a story about two samurai brothers. One eventually goes off to be a Ronin. The voice actor for both brothers, his name is Louis Ozawa, is usually what he's professionally known as. Louis Ozawa. He is the voice of both brothers, Kenji and Kiyoshi Kawakami. This actor, Louis Ozawa, is also in Predators. Yes, Predators from 2010, where he plays Hanzo Kawakami. So this is a pretty subtle one that I just stumbled upon as I was reading about the movie and reading about the voice actors. But yes, there seems to be a connection between Predator Killer of Killers and Predators from 2010, which is the one, if you recall, where like people are hunting predators for sport on another planet. And it's not just because the actor is in both of these movies, but he's playing characters of the same family name. So it's apparently a family that is cursed to have to continually battle predators, continually battle Utja. And now you also know why I'm also spending time talking about this installment in the Predator franchise specifically for this show, because another way that this movie kind of takes a first-time role in the franchise is that it does dip its toe into the martial art media world with a story about Ronins. Like I said, there are three stories plus a fourth one that connects them all together. The three parts are the shield, the sword, and the bullet. Much like a Predator film, each one of these stories takes place in a different time frame, because that's the appeal of the Predator films, is that you can basically take him and put him in and them, I should say. I guess I shouldn't gender. I don't know. You can basically take them and put them in any time frame on any planet to hunt prey. Is the Predator a... Well, I guess they're not Time Lords, but there's a little bit of a Doctor Who thing there, isn't there? Of like, you could put them in any point in history and it works. So we have a Viking era, a feudal Japan, and then I think it was the Pacific of World War II. And each one focuses on not only a different person, but a different weapon that is being used. So for the Viking era, we have a Viking woman who uses a shield as her primary weapon. And so, yeah, a lot of decapitation going on in that story. The sword, obviously, is about, like I said, it's about two samurai brothers who eventually one goes off and becomes a Ronin, and actually they are brought into a situation where they have to fight to the death. That's when the Predator shows up, and you can get some sweet, sweet samurai sword play. There's a really, the kill scene when they kill the Predator in that short is really cool. How they, it looks like they're going to start battling. They think it, they give you the impression that the brothers think they've killed the Predator. It looks like they've killed him, or they're giving the impression that they've killed him. It looks like they're going to start fighting again, but instead of doing like that classic samurai sword clash and then one falls dead, they actually both swipe at where they believe the Predator is sitting at in invisible cloaking and fully kill it. The third one is about a World War II. He's actually more of a mechanic, but he ends up a plane mechanic, but he ends up, it becomes a dogfight in the air. So that is actually pretty cool. It's very distinct from the other two stories because the Predator is flying a spaceship and it's a dogfight with these other World War II jets, ending up with this very young kid, you know, just recently drafted soldier, coming up with tricks in order to like defeat the Predator in an air battle, which was really cool. And like I said, very distinctive from the other two installments. What ends up happening, though, is all three of the main characters, the Viking, the Ronin, and the pilot, all end up still being captured by the Predators, by a separate like Predator who's also there, brought back to their planet where they are basically forced to fight against each other until the pilot figures out from the get-go, he's like, let's not fight each other, figures out a plan in order to get them to escape off of the planet by hijacking one of the Predator spaceships. And so, yeah, that is the extent of the film. It's actually, like, just under an hour and a half. Like I said, more of a casual watch. Animation style, at first, when I saw, like, clips, I was a little skeptical on the animation style. But I ended up really liking it. I think the combat sequences are really good. You see everything really well, especially with that very first story with the Vikings. You can, yeah, there's a lot of decapitation going on. But it's fluid. It's very fluid. It's very, like, you can see everything that's going on. and it's very, it doesn't look real, but it's very like detail oriented. The predators look really cool. Initially, that was the big thing. I was like, I don't know, they kind of look a little like cartoony with some of the original clips I was seeing, but as the movie went on, it was very much it was very detail oriented, and I felt like I could really see the predators really well in this one versus some of the other like live action installments where it just kind of looks like a big hulking dark thing. So as for the movie itself, would I rewatch it? I think so. This is again, it's a casual watch, so I feel like this is something I can just kind of turn on in the background. I don't know if it would make the canon of films that I would have to watch every Halloween season, but if you're looking for like a quick one to just kind of turn on one night and you haven't seen this yet, I definitely would recommend it. I don't know if Hulu does release. I don't think Hulu releases their original content on physical media, so I don't think I would be, unless I grabbed a bootleg, which I'm sure that exists. But would I buy, if it was like an anthology pack, which is always my like get out of jail free card with this question. If it was like an anthology pack, I definitely would. I definitely would buy a physical media copy of. I like I said, I really liked Prey. I might have to come up with a reason to do that one as an episode here on the show at some point. Maybe that will be one of the Halloween picks for next year. I'm checking my clock here, and we got a little bit of time left, really coming in early here. So I'm going to take a moment, and I'm going to reflect a little bit on the that question I asked earlier, or that tease I had earlier of like, I kind of want to do a whole episode talking about like how to physically fight a predator, how to physically fight a Yuja. Now I know what to title that episode, so that way it doesn't get flagged anywhere. And also how to fight a xenomorph, like in hand-to-hand combat. That one's terrifying, although you probably just have to light anything on fire and you've already got more than an advantage. The predator, fighting a predator, dang it, it just feels weird saying that, I'm sorry, even though we all know what we're talking about. Fighting a Yuja, though, would be, they're just so big. I feel like it would be like trying to fight like Michael Myers, you know, like it would be just like, it's there, or Victor Crawley, like it's so big and hulking that I don't think I could like muscle my way through that fight. But the thing is, though, is that whenever you watch these movies, that's usually not what happens anyway. Usually, and you see this in all three films, the way that you beat this, like, this, you know, species that is bred to hunt is you have to outthink it. You have to, like, get creative, and it's almost like Scream rules. You just can't assume that it's dead because you got one good blow in the fight. Like, you have to confirm the kill kind of thing. Yeah, but that's kind of like, you know, I think that was part of the appeal for me with Prey, is that like you have to like really think through. It becomes a chess game. Maybe that's the best analogy to use there, is that fighting a Yuja ends up becoming like a chess game. You can't just go out there and try and outmuscle one of these things. You're not going to be able to outmuscle it. But you could potentially figure out a way to outsmart it. It would also be interesting to think about like what weapons you would bring to the table when you are trying to physically fight one of these things, because I think in each one of these stories they use different weapons at different points, and I think in the different movies, I know that there's like universal weapons that they all use and they frequently show up, but like which ones do you bring to the table? Again, based off of size, I'm thinking like long range weapons, because I really don't want to get up and close to one of these things. Maybe I would probably have to have some just in case, like some brass knuckles or like a some kind of like a machete or something. I'm not bringing a small knife to that fight. You're probably going to have to pack some kind of close range weapon, but something with a that gives you a little bit of distance, which I again, the weapons that they choose for Killer of Killers does lean into that. The shield is big and has a, you know, it's got a large circumference and can kind of distance herself from the Yuja. A samurai katana is not necessarily the longest sword option, but it does create space. And the one guy was flying a ship, a plane, after all. That's quite a bit of space, even though the spaceship that the Predator was flying was really cool. Great, great design for that ship. And so, yeah, it's an interesting exercise. I don't know what martial art I would necessarily want to get trained in order to fight a Yuja. Not jiu-jitsu, or I do not want that fight going to the ground. I can tell you that much. I do not want this to turn into a grappling match at all. I'm not trying to put that thing in an armbar, triangle choke, no. And I'm definitely not doing that with a xenomorph either. Billy the Puppet, sure, I'll tangle that thing up in a grappling match. Not Jigsaw, Billy the Puppet. Okay, let's just be clear. I am tying up Billy the Puppet with his own strings to choke it out. Anyway, you know what? I think I've beaten that talk to death. And if you want to hear more about horror movie fight scene scenarios, Christian Ashley and I last December, it was on a Friday the 13th, did a whole episode pitching our horror movie martial art ideas. So if you want some more ideas on how to fight these different monsters and serial killers of cinema history and who we would pair up to fight them, you can check that episode out. Like I said, it came out last December. But that's it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend and follow Kung Fu Pizza Party on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party, on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY. And you can check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. And check out the other great shows here on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network, including Why I Don't Like, Systematic Ecology, and my sister show, My Seminary Life, a show about faith, theology, all that good stuff. And since we are in spooky season, make sure you're checking out Friday Night Frights, hosted by Christian Ashley and Joe Day, from Buddy Walk with Jesus and Shell Shock, a TMNT series, where they do a whole sit-down live stream podcast thing episode where they explore the weird, the eerie, the supernatural. And so it's a little bit if you used to watch BuzzFeed Unsolved, it's kind of that vibe. But they do switch off back and forth between who's the skeptic and who's the believer in each episode, rather than like one always being the skeptic and one always being the believer. So check that episode out too if you're looking for, or check that show out too if you're looking for more spooky content this season. And that's it for me. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have definitely delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.